the Gospel of John and portraits of Christ. And this morning I thought I'd bring a message relative to our fall program theme of being back in Sunday school. And so I want to bring a message actually about the local church. And the title of the message, I always forget to give these titles, the title of the message is The Local Church, A Place for Our Children. The Local Church, A Place for Our Children. Now, when you think about the local church this morning, think about the benefit you and I receive from being a part of a local church. Think about the benefit our children, grandchildren from our local church. And then also, because we just finished up the missions conference, think about the impact because of the local church on the mission field, because our missionaries that we support are church planting missionaries. Now, not every one of them themselves is planting a church, but they may be helping in a ministry that is a church plant. But think of the benefits we get from the local church, and think that because we support missions and missionaries all over the world who are starting churches, think of this, that not only are you and I exporting the gospel, but also the local church and the impact that it makes. Let's look then at Psalm chapter 84. We're going to read verses 1 through 3, and eventually we're going to get to every verse in the chapter. There's only 12 verses, but we'll get to all those verses, but we're not going to do it in necessarily the order in which they are. So let's look at verses 1 through 3. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. The word amiable means friendly or easy to get along with. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Now notice verse number 3 is where we get our text. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the teaching of the scripture about the local church. And Father, we thank you that the local church is a good place for us to raise our children. And thank you, Lord, a place for our children. Thank you for the impact the local church made on me as a boy and growing up. Thank you for the impact that it made on our children when they're growing up. Thank you, Lord, for the impact that this church made for hundreds of boys and girls over the years who got saved because they came to the Bible club or rode on the bus to Sunday school. Lord, what an important thing this thing is. We pray you bless. Pray if someone's here that doesn't know Christ, in Jesus' name, that they'd get saved. Amen. Well, notice the passage of Scripture. This refers to the tabernacle at this point in history. I do not believe, certainly was not the case in the day of King David until Solomon came along. There was no temple. But I believe this refers to the tabernacle, which was a center of worship. And we could get into all the types and shadows of that, but that would take a long time. But it is a place of worship. I want you to notice what verse number 3 says. It basically tells us that a sparrow who found a little gap in the tent-like structure flew in one day. And most tents, I've stayed in a few tents. When I was growing up, we went camping. Then when my children were growing up early on, we stayed in tents a few times, owned a tent or two. And there's usually some gaps in those, usually in the seams, so that when you try to stay there, you find yourself sleeping under a drip if it rains. But you folks that do the tent camping, God bless you. You go right ahead. I'm going to get a cabin whenever I can. But somehow, some way, this sparrow, this swallow, found their way into a little place and were flying around inside the tabernacle. They weren't spiritually concerned about the types and shadows of Christ that were in there, but they were flying around and they said, each of them individually, or maybe they got together, I don't know, but they said, hey, this looks like a good place for me to build my nest. And so each of them, somewhere in that tabernacle, around the altars apparently, built a nest. May I tell you this, that those birds were wise enough to recognize something that we should recognize. By the way, they didn't build their nest outside somewhere in a tree, and then when worship day come along, said, now see, little sweetheart, there's a little gap right there. You fly in there while me and Daddy stay home. You fly on in to the tabernacle. That's just taking a little shot there for folks who send their kids to Sunday school instead of taking their kids to Sunday school. But it's important for us to understand the importance of the local church and that it is a place for our children. Let me get into some of these things and what they are. We're going to start by going to the end. And firstly, because it's most important, is that in verse number 12, it's a place of salvation. A place of salvation. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Thank God that at the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I can hear the gospel and be saved. I heard the gospel when I was just a little boy, went to the Sunday school class when I was young of Mrs. Federer. I still remember her name. She had a flip chart of songs on there. And I remember that today. I was 5 years old. I couldn't even read. But I remember the flip chart. Maybe because I knew I had no idea what was on it, but I was interested that it was there. And she'd sing those songs. I don't know what all ages were in there, but I heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. I went to VBS and heard the gospel, got under conviction at the age of 5 years of age. And the young woman who was running it that day said, now, bow your head, let me ask if you'd like to receive Christ. I raised my hand, and then, because I was very introverted, still am, I know some of you don't believe it, but she said, well, if you raise your hand, come on, get up and follow me out. I was too afraid to be noticed, so I didn't get up. Oh, it's important, make sure, zero in, make sure somebody's got an opportunity. Even if they're too shy or too wild for you to talk to at the moment, find a way to reach them. And to thank God for the local church. It's the place where I heard about my Savior. We ought to be excited about that. It's a place of salvation. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 39, after preaching the wonderful message that caused 3,000 people to respond and be saved, the Apostle Peter goes on to tell them, after telling them how to be saved, says, for the promise is unto you and to your children. And to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. In Acts 16:31, the Philippian jailer's question was to Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the answer given was, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. It's for everybody to receive Christ as Savior. We heard a little bit ago in the Sunday school hour, wonderful account of a name that's going to be a part of this story, the Reverend Dr. Finney. He was an evangelist largely in the New York area of the country back many years ago. He was an evangelist, and great revivals occurred as a result. This story is told that includes him by T. DeWitt Talmage. DeWitt Talmage was a contemporary of D.L. Moody and C.H. Spurgeon, same time as they were. I can't remember which of the two, Spurgeon or Moody, it was, but one of them said he was talking to them I think it was Spurgeon, Talmage was, and said, Spurgeon, I read your messages. And Spurgeon responded, Talmage, everybody reads your messages. But this account, here it is. Dr. Finney that you hear about is the one that the pastor in the wonderful, what an informative, wonderful Sunday school lesson, that video that we saw. Dr. Finney is the one who in the early days of America, he was a generation before the 1850s and so. Okay? And he's the one who would say, if you got a problem sitting next to somebody of a different race in one of my meetings, then don't come to one of my meetings. I'm just making connections here this morning. Here's the story. I got a whole nother line to add to the story this morning about this. Here's what DeWitt Talmage says. There was in my ancestral line an incident so strangely impressive that it seems more like romance than reality. It's sometimes been so inaccurately put forth that I now give you the true incident. My grandfather and grandmother, living at Somerville, New Jersey, went to Baskin Ridge to witness a revival under the ministry of the Reverend Dr. Finney. They came home so impressed with what they had seen that they resolved on the salvation of their children. The young people of the house were to go off for an evening party, and my grandmother said, "Now, when you're all ready for the party, come to my room, for I have something very important to tell you." All ready for departure, they came to her room, and she said to them, "Now, I want you to remember while you're away this evening that I'm all the time in this room praying for your salvation, and I shall not cease praying until you get back." Now, they probably thought of her as a, what's the word, party pooper? From what they from what she said, but that's what she said. The young people went to the party, but amid the loudest hilarities of the night, they could not forget that their mother was praying for them. The evening passed and the night passed. The next day, my grandparents heard an outcry in an adjoining room, and they went in and found their daughter imploring the salvation of the gospel. The daughter told them that her brothers were at the barn and at the wagon house under powerful conviction for sin. They went to the barn. They found my uncle Jehiah, who afterwards became a minister of the gospel, crying to God for mercy. They went to the wagon house. They found their son David, who afterwards became my father, imploring God's pardon and mercy. Before a great while, the whole family were saved. And David went and told the story to a young woman to whom he was engaged, who, as a result of the story, became a Christian. And from her own lips, my mother, I've received the incidents. The story of that converted household ran throughout all the neighborhood, from family to family, until the whole town and region was whelmed with religious awakening. And at the next communion in the village church at Somerville, over 200 souls stood up to profess faith in the gospel. Thank God that the church is a place for our children to be saved. Secondly, it's a place of satisfaction. Satisfaction. Verses 1, verse 2, verse 4, and 11 talk of this. First of all, it's a place of satisfaction. It's a place of friendship. Notice what it says in verse 1. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. The local church is a place of friendship. Now, may I say to you that the swallow and the sparrow were two different birds, but they were able to live in the same tabernacle together. Thank God the gospel draws people. Thank God for that. I'm glad that whichever one built the nest first didn't say to the other, "Sorry, there's only room for us four and no more. Get out of here." They both found space in the place of worship. Oh, thank God. We can get along and ought to get along. It ought to be a place of friendship, being easy to get along with. Not everybody's easy to get along with. And you don't have to like everybody the same or want to hang around somebody more than somebody else. Don't tell me that's unity. That's just reality. I grew up in a home. I hate to be transparent. There was five of us kids. I was the middle child, the one they say is the most well-adjusted. My brother, he's 2.5 years old, he knew how to yank everybody's chain, push everybody's buttons. Finding as the years have passed and talking, none of us like to be around him. None of us. But we're still part of the family, so we learned how to make it work. For some of us, it was. If he's in the room, we just didn't go in there. Okay, I'm just trying to help you out here. The realities of the ministry and the local church. Thank God for the friendship that we can share. This story comes from David Yarborough. He says, a preacher in Tennessee said that his father was not a Christian and never went to church. He said everyone else in the family would get ready and go to church, and his dad would stay home. The preacher would come by and visit, and his dad would always give him the same pat answer. I know why you're here, and I know what you want. You want another name and another pledge of money. You don't care about me. He said, if I heard my dad say it once, I heard him say it 20 times. He said toward the end of his father's life, his dad got throat cancer. He had surgery and couldn't talk. He said as his dad was wasting away in the hospital room, it was filled with flowers and cards, almost all of them from someone in the church. Food came to his house from his wife's Sunday school class at the church. By the way, thank you for that fine meal at the funeral yesterday or at the celebration service yesterday. You dear ladies in the church, you got it down. And we don't want to leave out that not your mama's banana pudding when we say that, amen. When Brother Weaver comes along and says, you don't want that, it tastes terrible. It's because he wants to eat all that himself that his wife made. Don't mean to leave anybody else's food out. It's all good. But back to the story. He said people came and prayed with my dad from the church. He said one day, even though my dad couldn't talk, he took a scrap of paper and scribbled words from Shakespeare's Hamlet. In this harsh world, draw your breath in pain to tell my story. So this son said, well, Dad, what is your story? His dad, with trembling hand, wrote on the scrap of paper, I was wrong. I was wrong about the church. He said, I got to talk with my dad about salvation in Christ before he died, simply because of the love and fellowship of the church. Blessed be those ties that bind our hearts in Christian love. There's fellowship in verse number 2. My heart so longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. He appreciated the fellowship. He really appreciated it when it was gone. Others learn its value when they're away, like a soldier in World War II in New Guinea, or a sailor on aircraft carrier in the Mediterranean, or a student away at college, or a prisoner in a cell, or a Christian in a communist country, or a missionary in a jungle camp, or a shut-in with crippling arthritis. Thank God for the fellowship of the local church. It's a good place for your sons and daughters to gain friendships that may last a lifetime. Thank God for the local church. It's a place not only of satisfaction in friendship and in fellowship, but thirdly, in finding God's blessings. Verse number 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Finding God's blessings. What a place of blessing. This church, Open Door Baptist Church, of which I've now been a part of almost 38 years, I believe is the right number, has been a blessing to me. I'm thankful for the blessings. And your children can be blessed too. I'm thankful for our children's ministries and the Bible Club and the teen church and the junior church. All the things we have for boys and girls so they don't have to just sit in a service and listen to an old person like me. They can get it on their level and sing some songs and look around and think, man, this is fun. Fun beats an old fogey any day for a kid. By the way, I'm not saying that children shouldn't be around adult services, be of those. Those are good things, and they can learn how to sit still and pay attention. By the way, can I also say they're getting more out of it than they pretend to, and maybe more than you think they are. And so thank God for the local church. Number 3, it's also a place of safety and security. Verse 3, verse 9, verse 11. Verse 3, yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Every woman who has a home has that home, and one of the most that wants a home. Once in that home, a place where she knows her children will be safe and secure. Thank God for the local church, a place of safety and security. A safe place. Verse number 9 also. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. Verse number 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. Thank God for the safety of the local church. Safety from the devourer. John chapter 10, verse number 10. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Malachi 3, 10 and 11. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast for fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. It's a place of safety from the devourer. Listen to me, young people, boys and girls, teenagers can come to the local church and learn how not to allow their life to be destroyed by the flesh, the world, and the devil. May I say to you, especially in these times that we're living in, to the parents of young people, a young person can take about one half a step away from God. This old world will sweep them away. Better listen. By the way, parents, though they pretend not to because you're not cool, especially when they get to be teenagers. When I was a teenager, my parents were in their 40s. I thought they were ancient. Now I'm ancient. 40 sounds young. But you listen to me, teenagers, the person they listen to the most, though they don't want to admit it or pretend not to, is their parents. Listen. Place of strength and security where she may lay her young from the devourer, from defilement, from divorce. I'll give you this. Comes from the mission field. Yojana Garcia, a young woman's testimony is as follows. I was born and raised in Nepal. I grew up in a home with domestic violence. My family were Hindus. As such, our way of life was deeply influenced by Hinduism. Society reinforced a strict social rule that made it impossible for my mother to leave my father. My brother was the first one to leave the country. With his financial and emotional help, I left Nepal in 2006 to pursue higher education. My father was against it, but he somehow allowed me to go to the U.S. alone. I arrived in Lewiston, Idaho to attend college, but needed a place to live. That's when I met someone she calls, though she was not her grandma, she referred to as Grandma Aileen Toucher. I did not know she was a Christian at first, but once I started living with her and her family in 2007, I knew she was a devout follower of Christ. She never forced me to be a Christian. She invited me to church, and by doing so, introduced me to God, to a God who wanted a personal relationship. I enlisted in the Navy in 2010, a week after I graduated with my master's degree. I was a foreign national and was provided the opportunity to join the Navy under a special program that guaranteed citizenship in return for 4 years of service. Grandma Aileen was my biggest supporter. I got saved at a church in San Diego. Grandma Aileen was the first person I called. I thanked her for showing me the truth and introducing me to Christ. Jesus Christ. Life has been incredible ever since. I have a Heavenly Father who loves me despite my sinful nature. My relationship with God restored my faith in marriage. While being stationed in Sicily, I met my husband David. We attended Calvary Baptist Church, pastored by BIMI military missionaries, Alan and Elizabeth Hamilton. While under their ministry, we decided to put Christ in the center of our marriage and have promised each other to spend the rest of our lives honoring God. We endeavor to be good testimonies to each other and others to serve those in need. Currently, I'm stationed in Okinawa, Japan, where missionary Stu Jellison is my pastor at North Shore Baptist Church. Thank God that the local church is a place where the home, the nuclear family. When I first, who came up with that name? I said, what's that mean? Nuclear family. That sounds like something bad, like the bomb or something. No, it's referring to the traditional, may I say, biblical concept of the family. You might as well bring them here and let them hear the truth because they're not hearing it anywhere else about it. Number four, it's a place of strength, verses 5 through 7. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The word Baca means tears. Make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. It's a place of strength. It's a place, as verse number 6 refers to, where broken hearts can be turned into a blessing. In the valley of a hospital room or a funeral home or a lonely house or a defeated life, a broken heart, failing health, the betrayal of a mate, the valley of a wayward child, the local church is a place of strength. This past few weeks has been difficult for Beth. Difficult for all the loved ones of Justin. It's been hard on our church. Thank God the local church is a place that we can get strength to go on through the valley. I've told this story before. Martin Rinkert, during the 30-year war in Germany, was a pastor, Saxony, Germany. The years the war dragged on, not only did the 30 years war, but some of the really bad plagues occurred during that time. For a time, he was the only pastor in his town. during that 30 years war, because of the deaths, because of the war and the disease, which also results from war, his pastoral duties caused him to preside at, listen, 4,500 burials in 1637, the year alone. Folks, that's an average of over 12 funerals a day. Every day, 365 days of the year. Likely they had combined funerals. I don't know about that. But imagine that. Well, during that turbulent time, Martin Rinkert wrote a song. It's verse number 18. In our songbook. He doesn't talk about how bad they had it, but in this song he wrote during those turbulent times, here's what he wrote. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us. Another phrase in this song says, all praise and thanks to God the Father now be given. He concludes, the Son and Him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God whom earth and heaven adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore. It's a place where we can get strength in difficult times. It's a place of spiritual growth for us as we study and learn the Word of God and put it into practice. And then may I conclude by saying this. It's a place, verse 10, of service. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You know what a doorkeeper is? Well, today, in the local church saying, it'd be the greeter who stands somewhere at this door, the front door, and somebody comes in and says, hello. Did you know people, within the first 10 minutes of entering a church, decide whether they're going to come back or not? That first impression, instead of when they walk in and sit down, because they got there a little, we'll just take this pew for an illustration. Then here comes in, maybe in the side door late, somebody. And one of these fine gentlemen we're very thankful to have in our church. I wonder if that happened to them. I'm not asking. I wonder if that happened to them the first time they came. You know, the person probably didn't say it. They probably went. Maybe one of them would have been bold enough to say, is there something wrong? No problem. You're just sitting in the chair I usually sit in. But it's okay for this time. Plenty of room on the front rows. Somebody takes your seat. We don't have any assigned seats at Open Door Baptist Church. You've got to be careful how I say that, because I said it one time. Next time I came in, our son David was sitting up here on that seat right there. He said there's no assigned seats. I try not to get in battles of wits with my son David, because he always wins those things. Let me give you some things. Soul winning, a way to serve, nursery work, teachers, pianists, singers, ushers, greeters, maintenance, building skills, preparing meals, praying for and supporting of missionaries. Thank God for the local church. It is a place of service. Well, let me ask you to bow your head for a word of prayer. Heads are bowed. Maybe there's somebody here that doesn't even know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You need to receive Christ. The opportunity is given to you, even at the end of the service, when the invitation is given. You need to come. The pastor will be here at the front to receive you and take the Word of God, or have someone else to show you how to receive Christ as Savior. Maybe you're just here and you need to make a public decision for baptism or church membership. Maybe you just need to come to the altar, do some business with the Lord, whatever it is. You need to come. Would you come? Let's stand together. I'm going to pray and turn the invitation then to Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You that this place of worship, the local church, is a wonderful place to raise a family. Thank You, Lord, that we can export that all over the world and people of different countries because of missions can also reap the benefits for their children in the local church. Bless the time we've had together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.